Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast, part of the Living in Loserville podcast platform. How's everybody doing? Probably not that great on this category right now. 0-2 Vikes, rough one. Rough one, man. That was an ugly one. The Indianapolis Colts slowly but surely just tear apart our beloved, not at this moment, but our beloved Minnesota Vikings to the tune of, oh, who even cares? What, 28-10 or some shit? I don't know. I really don't know. We are going to try to find some positives, but there's just not that many. It's mostly negative. We're not negative people, but it's reality. It is reality. So we're going to break down some of this ugly game. Of course, the sun will come out tomorrow, and we do have a game coming up. Our run defense will be tested. You know, there's no bones about it. They're not going to try to hide it and scheme it. No, they're coming right downhill at you with a big old back for the Tennessee Titans. So we'll break that down as well. But, yeah, we got to talk our way through it. Man, when you look at the injuries, they're starting to pile up even more now. If you look at the, nine out of the 11, I can't remember, nine out of the 11? I think it was nine out of 11 or eight out of 11. I can't remember as far as starters on defense from last year. We knew it was a reboot, but wow, with the injuries and our man in the middle out, it is not going to improve anytime soon. Well, I mean, that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. A lot of people are already saying tank. It's time to tank. Let's tank for the Clemson QB. Okay. We're going to have to win next week, though. I mean, the numbers on 0-2 going to 0-3, just the numbers on 0-2 are pretty ugly. Now, sure, you know, there is an extra playoff spot this year, so you could tweak it percentage-wise. But it's this third game is a must-win if we want to have any hope of getting the playoffs. If not, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble. Anyway, like I said, we're going to break this down. We're going to banter a little bit. We're going to try to have some fun with it. We're going to try to keep it light. But it is tough, like I said, with this, with these two games. The defense was just god-awful week one. The offense, you know, with the head of the quarterback there, Cousins, god-awful this week. Like, this is Cousins' worst game as a Minnesota Viking. There's no way around it. You know, he's actually – the crazy thing is he's actually faced more pressure in other games and done well. I'm not saying he didn't get any pressure, but wow. Like, that was just a really bad game. So, and like I said, we're gonna look to next week. We're going to see how that game breaks down. More than likely, it'll be a tight game. Knock on wood. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Purple Eater or People Eaters podcast, I can't even talk right now. I'm so messed up. No, if this is your first time listening to the pod, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and download it right there if you don't want to or listen to the browser. This podcast is under the Ropeadope Radio Podcast at Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, really all across the board. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found on Spotify and all across the board. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And one more thing before we get into this. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They have the 7-day free trial. Once you sign up, there's no annual contracts. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And right now, if you sign up, you got a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. A layer to this deal, if you sign up for the Max package, you already have HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime. Once again, that's AT&T TV Now, live streaming cable. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and check his temperature and see how he's doing. A lot of people are kind of coming out of their hole. Like, is it safe? Is it safe? Is the game over? Okay, well, the game's finally over. So I don't have to watch another garbage touchdown or anything like that. Okay, game's over. Boy, we knew there was going to be some turnover. We knew that there was going to be some flux. We knew that, you know, the first six games were going to be rough. We were just hoping for 3-3, I should say. But this has been an ugly one. And that 0-2, you know, close to a death sentence is just staring you right in the eye. How you feeling, buddy? How are you feeling? How you doing anyway?
Well, I'm good, Chris. And, you know, well, Vikings fans, how do you really feel? I mean, I'm looking out at Facebook groups and the internet, and it's tank for this, sky is falling that, you know, fire Zimmer this, hate Spielman that, all over the board of negativity flying around after the second game of the season. And I got to say, it was a disgusting display. It was horrible. But, you know, two games does not a season make. And, you know, it's hard to find any positivity at this point in time. We're going to attempt to do that. But, you know, looking at the composure of Kirk Cousins, looking at the injury to Anthony Barr, looking at the opt-out of Michael Pierce, looking at, you know, rookie corners, looking at an offensive line that's still having problems 4 years later. This is not a lot of real positive things to look at. I guess you look out for growth and potential, and you try to keep your nose to the grindstone and see what silver linings you can pull out of this cloud.
It's a good way to put it. One thing we do know is why the youngster guard was not in the starting lineup, Drew. We now know why he was not in the starting lineup. He got bulldozed like five separate times in a game. It's very rare that you see a guy just get trucked. This is not the Rip Drew Samoa, you know, show. But golly, that just kind of, it kind of did kind of make me think, oh, and hey, you know, if this keep continues, just the whole thing of, hey, we need to, if you're going to get rid of Diggs, we need to improve the offensive line, not just draft, but a player ready to plug and play. And then, hey, when you got about five or six vet corners out there for cheap, even the studs got below market what they got last year, why not, you know, take a flyer on one? I mean, what's it going to hurt? You know, you can always just cut them or something. I mean, in the end, really, what is it going to hurt? And some of this stuff is catching up with us, no doubt about it. And it's really funny. So the first, well, I mean, funny in a weird way. But so once again, somehow, you know, usually you can kind of tell this Viking squad, especially under Zimmer, you know, the way it's set up. You can kind of, the feeling on the first couple of drives, you can kind of feel, you know, when we go up 7-0 or something, usually when you look at the numbers at just 7-0 actually and halftime leads and stuff, it's actually really impressive, you know. And so it just kind of locks in your head like, okay, hey, we got off to a good start. And, yeah, it was only a field goal this time last week. It was a touchdown. But 13-play drive, we had some balance. And, hey, we're okay. This is okay, no problem. Three quick early passes to Thielen. Why not start feeding them? And then when they start to put the protection over there, you know, we'll go to the other quote-unquote weapons. But, you know, the defense didn't play nearly as bad. Yeah, they gave up one. That was the thing that really set the tone for the Colts. I mean, before you knew it, Aaron, it was 12 carries, 60 yards for Taylor. And Taylor loves this. He comes from the Wisconsin system. 16-play drive, 9 minutes. It was just like, what now? There was an interception on that other long drive. So that you know, that helped as well. But before you know it, it was just like, wow, we got off to a good start, and here we go. I mean, yeah, we can say – we'll talk about the defense as far as red zone. You know, that's the only reason why that wasn't another just scorcher earlier. is because of the red zone defense. I noticed we ran a fair amount of bootleg play action to get it moving. I thought that was a smart move. But like I said, before we get into too much here, this was Kirk Cousins' worst game as a Viking. It's hands down because, yeah, he got pressured, like I said, but we've seen him actually get more pressure and perform better. That was not the case. He was off, you know, the throwing behind someone when it's like, all right, dude, I know you can't throw ahead of him because there's a guy there. Throw it on the numbers or throw it on the ground or throw it, you know, to the hip or something. How many lower passes do you see get tipped and end up picked? Not that many. Not that many at all. And you got to know in that split moment, you know, he was just the most off I've seen him, like I said. And then some people are like, oh, I like the aggression downfield. I like the aggression. You mean throwing it into two people, two guys on Thielen, when we know we don't – if you don't have a jump ball guy, that's something we've talked about for 3 years now, Aaron. We don't have a jump ball deep guy. Sure, we got some Rudolph post you up. You know, he can do some stuff in the red zone or if you need 4 yards or something like that. But the only guys – and you, I'm not saying you don't use this play in the NFL. I mean, we started the damn play with Randy Moss. Yeah, two guys that he can knock it down. He'll be to the ball first, whatever. Then you take a risk like that. But that was like, if you think that's being aggressive, that's just plain being dumb because we don't have a go get it where that the worst thing that turns into is it's a punt because he knocked it down or whatever. That was a horrendous pass. The picks, the just everything. He was just off like I've never seen him before. And like I said, this was not some sort of, oh, the blitzes were coming from everywhere, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you raise a lot of great points on Cousins and, you know, the other things, which we'll get into. But Cousins, you know, all I can do is think back to Stephon Diggs. Think about all the things he said, all his behaviors, the things he said about Kirk. And, you know, I'm not going to say that all of that was accurate, but there was a nice chunk of accurate in there. And, you know, it's hard to tell with him because Kirk can play lights out at points in his career, you know. Green Bay a couple years ago, he's lights out. The Rams game, he was great. They lost both of those games, but he played well. And you're right, he didn't get any more pressure than he usually does, but he was throwing errant passes and didn't seem to give a whole hell of a lot about it. Now, I'm not saying you got to cry or kick somebody, but he just kind of shrugged it off, you know. And there's the whole saying about, you know, well, you got to think about the next play. Well, yeah, it's true. You know, you got to have a short memory, but I just didn't see any kind of competitive nature coming out of him, maybe to, you know, start a comeback or anything like that. It just seemed like a general malaise over the whole offense. You know, you come out swinging with some play action, was, you know, moderately successful, but you're right. You have no one to throw to. There's no big receiver out there. You have one, you have Thielen, and the whole world knows you have one. So, you know, you're thrown into double coverage. You're thrown behind. You're getting sacked. We have three safeties in the last three regular season games, another NFL record. It's just getting to the point where you have to say, you know, is it the coordinator? Is it Kirk? Is it the play calling? It's one of my least favorite tropes that fans will come out with is play calling because you just don't know all the intricacies that go into it. But I think, you know, I'm not seeing screens to Delvin Cook. I'm not seeing passes in the flat. I'm not even seeing check down Charlie from Kirk. I'm just seeing bad passes, and it's mind-blowing how quickly you see the warts on a guy like that.
Yeah, I'm not ready. Like, we have a difference of an opinion on Cousins since he's been here. Nowhere near what you see some of the fan base talk about on both sides. I'm not in fantasy sports, so I don't bend over backwards for that, but I also don't think it's as bad as some people say. I don't think you're measuring it up near of what, you know, some people say where you're like, dude, you're out of your mind. So it's all like last week was all Cousins, really? So we gave up. So the last four touchdowns or the last four possessions, they scored touchdowns, 28 points in the fourth quarter. They gave up two. Doesn't that mean something? You know, that type of thing. But this was just period point blank his worst game. It's funny, he actually did get out of the end zone You know, somehow, some way, he actually did. That shouldn't have been what it was, but still, just throw the fucking ball. Just throw it. I'll give him credit. Like, he did kind of somehow, this is kind of weird to say, but muscle his way out of the end zone. I'm surprised he didn't just get thrown down like a rag doll, but it doesn't, you know, that's nice, man. Good effort, but just throw the damn ball away. You're in the end zone. So that one was another one. But yeah, this whole aggressive, I saw that a bunch on Twitter. Oh, I like the aggressive. So you call that a smart, aggressive play. And like you said, where are the screenplays? Where are the short little dink and dumps? Where are just something going? You know, just get something going. And we're not seeing it. Now, did we shoot ourselves in the foot plenty? Yeah. I mean, we had a drive going, and then we get a penalty. Irv Smith didn't have his greatest day. We are 3rd and 19 and 3rd and 25. And yeah, we can't blame that just on Cousin, sure. Or even, like you said, play call. Last week, we broke down two play calls, the 4th and 3rd, and the end zone play action. Those are play calls. But we're not going to sit there and blame it on all play calls. That's ridiculous. So, the funny thing is the red zone defense still hung around, but yet we went 6 quarters without registering a sack and really only one registered pressure, you know, in 6 quarters. Now, there is some layers of positivity, just not much, but we did start to get some pressure, some hits, some sacks. You know, Yannick did actually have that strip, you know, sack and strip that really could have gave us a little bit more spark, but we would just turn right around and just do nothing with it, you know, on offense. And so it was just, like I said, I blame Cousins the most because he was just off with his accuracy when we had the time. And then the other layer stuff where then he did get sacked and it wasn't his fault. And it's, you know, 3rd and 27. Sure, okay, you know, I'm willing to say that. But so many stalled drives, the field position once again, they started at like their average of like 40, and we started at the average of 20 in a year. You know, in years now, where if you just don't touch the ball, you get it at the 25. Like, it was really bad. It was like you said earlier, it was just disgusting. And we just couldn't get it going. And the crazy thing is, it's 15-3 at half. You get a score, and you're right there, dude. You're not that far off, but it sure didn't feel like it. And it really didn't feel like it once they had that 10-play long drive that just put the game so out of reach that it wasn't even – I thought the game was more in reach down by 10 last week. With 8 minutes or 9 minutes ago than I did somewhere in the late third quarter. It was like, nah, this isn't happening. This is not happening. So just an ugly game all around. And when you look at some of these numbers, I mean, even, okay, so under Zimmer, the Vikings have trailed by 12 points at half just 6 times. We've only came back once, and that was, what was that? Oh, yeah, Denver last year. Look at this. Kirk Cousins has been intercepted twice, targeting Thielen. Last year, he had 3 interceptions the whole year with 205. I'm sorry, the last 2 seasons with 205 attempts to him. The first drive, like I mentioned, you know, 4 first downs, 13 plays. The next 8 drives, 3 first downs, 54 yards, a safety, and 3 picks. 6 out of the 8 drives were 3 or less because of the picks. And, you know, Zimmer, this is a quote from Zimmer from Courtney Cronin. This team has kind of been built, kind of. It's kind of been built like this, Zim. It's kind of been built on controlling the time of possession, playing great in the red zone and on third downs, and we haven't done that very well. On offense, we don't have an identity. The quarterback didn't have a good game whatsoever. We're going to have to get back to work and figure out this as far as identity. And then you start to say before it's too late. And right now, currently, 3 out of the 11 starters from last year are going to be on the field. And we'll get into some 0-2 talk, you know, as far as those numbers. But like I said, it just gets hard to find positives. You know, when it's like last week, the defense just – shat on itself. This week, at least, they stood up in the red zone, and it was 3-0 actually for a while. We had plenty of time to get down there and put something else on the board. Offense this week, just horrendous. I mean, does it feel like we can even put it together on one side of the ball?
That's a great question. Not without an offensive line, Chris. I mean, you brought that up earlier. I mean, you said seeing Samia, who I had a lot of faith in and still kind of do. I mean, I'm going to give him a mulligan on this one, and hopefully he comes back and plays well. But he got trucked. We've seen Reef get trucked in the past, Elfline all the time. We just don't have the horses up there, and it's hard to do anything without that. Now, they can come together. We can run the ball pretty well, you think. So why don't we run the ball a little bit more? If we have to, we just pay Delvin. We've got two or three backs. I guess Boone's out, but we've got two or three backs that can run the football. And we might have to just go to more of that. I mean, just to move the chains. It's just tough to watch, you know, just ineptitude. You come out with scripted plays. You do decent. You get down there. You can't punch it in. You get 3 points. And then after that, it's just like floundering. You know, you can't run the ball. You can't pass the ball. We're now going up against the greatest defense in the world, and you just can't do anything now. It's hard to tell what was really going on, and I think Cronin hit it right with the lack of identity just because they haven't had time to form one. I mean, the time of possession was 18 minutes the first game, 20 minutes this game. You got a pissed off defense that can't get off the field.
Hold on, Aaron. That's under the improvements. 3 minutes, dude. Next week it could be 24, dude.
Well, let's hope it is. I mean, you got to get up there somehow. I mean, just get a couple first downs. I really think maybe the problem is just trying, you know, not knowing with a little time in the offseason. You don't really know what the identity of your team is offensively. So you're kind of going back to some old things that have worked. But without the time to really see who can do what and where, I guess it's kind of a crapshoot. Now, after two games, you should be able to say, okay, this is successful. This isn't. Let's do more of this and less of that. But, you know, you're not seeing other teams go through this. You saw kind of a sputter in the first half of the first game, but now other teams are kind of clicking offensively, and we are nowhere near that, and it's really frustrating. And, you know, you preached all offseason, and I kind of didn't take it in, but now I know where's Josh Klein. You had a chance. We don't know what his injury situation is or if he's even able to play, but, you know, I'm not hearing anything about attempt to sign him when you clearly don't have anybody adequate at the guard position, and now you need one more than ever. Still haven't heard his name pop up anywhere, so – you know, let's assume that maybe a call has been made or maybe his neck's not, you know, where it should be or whatever. But, you know, you got to figure out something on this offensive line. You got to try. I'm down with just putting in different guys, trying different things. I think that's really where the problem is and has been for many years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's nice to, you know, you got a draft to replace. No doubt about it. I'll give him credit for that the last couple of years. But we need the folks to do it now, and we had a chance. I got killed in the Facebook groups. We had a chance to make some trades, and not just that one Trent Williams trade either. Cowboys guard, Jacksonville guard, like there was so much out there, and we have so many goddamn picks. Just give them away then. Like we already got it. We drafted three guys in the first two rounds, right? The last 3 years at offensive lineman. Okay, so you've done that part, but you know what? The people right now are not – O'Neal's the only one that's turning out right now, and I'm not expecting, you know, first and second year guys to be studs, but you got – okay, they're not, though. So let's go get a meat and potatoes guy. You know, the thing about a Trent Williams or whatever, it's not just pass protection. You can literally run. Hey, Delvin, you see that great mass of body that can move? Yeah, go behind him. And then when they queue up on that, then Delvin with this footwork, we'll just skirt that way. And speaking of, the reason why we signed him an extension, and I know it's garbage, but when you're a defense, you don't want to give that running play up, you know, near the goal line. That, it's a little small thing. But this is what makes him a special back. That touchdown run, and I know it's garbage. I'm not trying to give us credit as an offense. We got it going. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying just literally one play. That play right there tells me why we extended Cook. That he made oh, I'm in. I mean, it was beautiful run. That's a positive. You know, the red zone
defense in the second half pressure. I thought that was a positive. They did start to stick to run a little bit more. The special teams improved in the second half, but man, they had an early start with that punt game. But hey, we're using them a lot more this year than we need to with all these three and outs. And well, actually, maybe we're not, because we did have three picks too. So overall, man, it's 0-2. You know, like you said, the sky's not completely falling, but when we know that we didn't improve the line and we have all these new pieces on D, it is tough to feel good about it per se. Like, okay, this isn't that bad. Here we go. So 0-2, these stats go back to 1978, 0-2, when they expanded to 16 games. That's why they're cut off there. 341 teams have started 0-2. They finished an average record of 6-10. There are some, there's some Super Bowl winners. There are plenty of divisional winners. We actually, you know, won a division in this form. And I know before this stat's a little skewed because there's an extra team on both sides that get in this year with the new playoff format. So I understand, but they're not going to skew that much. And just real quick, years finished that after 0-2 starts. This is the year finished. 81, 7-9. 84, Les Steckel, 3-13. 2001, 5-11. 2002, 6-10. 2005, 9-7. 2008, 10-6. Won the division. And the crazy thing about this is we lost to the Packers week one and the Colts week two back in 2008. 2010, 6-10. 2011, 3-13. And the last really bad season, 2013, 5-10-1 for the average of 6-10. Isn't that a nice little way to tie a bow on it there,
Aaron? Yeah, I mean, it sounds familiar. I mean, the Vikings are never that bad for that long, but it's not, you know, building up to be a hell of a season here. And, you know, Chris, I go back again to what you said all summer, and again, I got to take it on board. You wanted to go get a veteran defensive back, and, you know, we didn't do that. And I had some faith that, you know, we'd draft some guys and some guys would play better, but that's not showing up. So, I mean, it'd be great to have a veteran defensive back in there just to maybe calm things down a little bit. And that's not showing up. And, you know, the same old tropes we've been saying since we started the show, we're giving up 7 yards on first down on a run, Linval with Linval and without Linval. I heard Andre Patterson and say, well, they're not getting pushed off the line. They're just not doing their run fits. Well, I saw something different. I saw them getting pushed off the line and a lot and often. I mean, Taylor's a great back, but, you know, is he that great of a back? We're going to find out. And we're just, you know, it's retreading the same stories, only this time it's exacerbated because we don't have a top 10 defense to clean things up. And, you know, I have every faith that this defense is going to improve under Zimmer. I think that even this week, they improved from the previous week. But, you know, how quick is that going to be? And then you still have all the problems on offense. 6-10, it's looking more realistic now than it did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it really is. And you're right. That's a great point. We did see, especially the red zone, we did see a pretty big improvement. The only problem is they were able to get 14 carries, you know what I mean, pretty early in that game. And transition is everything. Speaking of 14 carries, before you sit down and open up a beer, they got a guy down there in Tennessee that likes to get the ball. Am I right, Aaron? I mean, this is going to be a test, maybe not in the air. Now, I could see that the play action explosive play may burn us. We've seen a lot of these great safeties, and I'm not going to blame it on them, but we've seen a lot of the back of their unis so far. And once again, we had another touchdown drop, by the way. We forgot to mention that. Otherwise, that game would have been maybe out of touch even earlier. I totally forgot about that. From a veteran guy, too. That was kind of crazy. So here we go. Tennessee Titans coming into town. 2-0. They got some bodies out. Vic Beasley Jr. They do have some bodies out comparative to us. Danzler is still questionable at this point. They are a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under is 47.5. They have played in two extremely tight games, beating Jacksonville last week 33-30 in Denver opening week 16-14. You know, maybe it's just my eternal positivity or just I hope, but at some point we're going to have a super competitive game in the fourth quarter where we haven't had to make a run back to even make it a somewhat game like in week one and no game in the fourth quarter, really second half after a while last week. But I feel like this is going to be, you know, a competitive game. But it'll really come down to that run defense. And I just don't know how we can even keep them under 100, 120. It kind of feels that way. What are your thoughts going in after seeing back-to-back weeks getting, you know, chewed up from, I'm not going to say lesser running games because they have a good running game. The Colts have a good offensive line, that is for sure, and so do the Packers. And Jones – I believe leads the league at like 225 rushing yards right now. What do you see coming in when you got a full head of steam coming downhill, ready to just tear in to the interior of our defense?
Well, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I think it's going to be a long Sunday. They are on a roll, them being the Tennessee Titans. They're gritty. They got a great offensive line, great defensive line. Big, strong running back with speed, competent wide receivers, and a competitive quarterback. I couldn't think of a team that you wouldn't want to face more than a team like that. There's no questions in their lineups. They've been doing this for a couple years now. Tannehill's proven to be more than competent. If the defense improves, takes another step up, I think they'll be a little closer than you would think they would. But if we can't score points and that snowball effect comes, if you can't keep the offense on the field, it's going to be a problem. Now, if you get a heavy dose of Cook and you eat the clock and try to keep the game on your terms, I think maybe you got a chance. But I really don't like this matchup at all. In fact, I can't think of one I probably like. Well, I guess if you had to face Leonard Fournette right now, probably be a problem. But this is probably the worst possible matchup. Week three, team reeling against a team that's rolling downhill. So I got 32-10 Tennessee on this one. I just don't see us, you know, all of it falls on Cook and Madison this week. You got to run the football because you can't throw it. And our offensive line's got to move people. If they can't pass protect, you certainly hope they can run block. And if they can do that, control time of possession, which is something they haven't done, that's the way you win this game, is keep the other team off the field. But I don't see that happening. I just don't. I think it'll go the opposite. I think you're going to see Tennessee do that, run the ball right down our throats, and then we get to talk about some other issues next week.
Yeah, I'm on the 23-30 loss, so I got it tighter. I got a really, more of a heartbreaker. You know, when I think about it, maybe I would just rather take your score. It hurt to hear it right away. But maybe I would rather have that. I'd have the rest of my Sunday open. I got a 23-20. Vikings go down swinging. They do establish the run. They just can't stop it. They can't stop it. And like you said, it comes down to using the players that we know can produce. But can the offensive line produce enough? They're not this great defense, but yeah, so 23-20, 26-23, that's kind of what I was playing with. I'm going to settle in on 23-20. Unfortunately, going 0-3. Ouch. Real quick, it's going to pick up here in a couple of weeks. The Minnesota Gophers Big Ten football is back in a couple of weeks. October 23rd and 24th is the kickoff. And we have Bateman now among a couple other players, but, you know, obviously we're focused on Rashad Bateman. He is now enrolled. He is now back in school. He wants to play. The only reason why he wasn't going to play is because the first rumors we heard was spring football. And spring football doesn't allow you to get drafted at a high level, potentially, because, you know, you're just not doing the scout stuff. You're not doing that because, you know, a good chunk of the three out of the top five power fives started earlier. So that's going to be a normal thing. Well, that's not the case. They shrunk the schedule to 8. They're going to be done December 19th as far as regular season. So December 20th is that final college football ranking. So they are going to be able to sneak in there. The Power 5 has – they're finally realizing they have a lot more power than the NCAA, and the NCAA has, this offseason has really shown to be inept. And honestly, they're scared. They're on thin ice. They're like, wow, we could actually lose this. You know, this might be bad. And so I'm thinking, you know, that it actually – I think they're going to let Bateman back in. And some of it is, honestly, some of it is just based off common sense, but NCAA and common sense doesn't line up. But there was also an Arizona State punter that went through the whole draft process, and he earned his eligibility back, and the school cited COVID as a special circumstance. So, you know, there are some other big – I think the Purdue wide receiver, I hear a little rumors. I don't know if he's enrolled or if he did or not. But Bateman only – you know, made the right decision for his longevity or for his life, you know, moving forward by dipping out, because the season may have started in March and you're not even done with your season and then you get drafted. It's not like baseball. You know, it's not like baseball where you're playing and they get drafted. That's not how it works. So I'm hoping that Bateman comes back, but I did like how the Big Ten took a look around. They're going to test their players every single day. Illinois and Michigan weren't going to be on board in general until they went the cardiovascular route. You're literally, when you get COVID, you have to be cleared with an x-ray to make sure that shit is not on your lungs that we're starting to see in lungs since the COVID started. So it is 100% legit. So I think the Big Ten made a good decision on, you know what, we're going to postpone and we're going to look at 3 different start dates and we'll see what we can accomplish. And they did get it done. But here's hoping that Bateman comes back, because that really helps in an 8-game season and just hitting the ground running. Speaking of losing parts, it would suck to lose Johnson and Bateman.
No. Yeah, it would. And you really hope the best for Bateman. And, you know, I got to feel like he's got a good chance. I mean, signing with an agent is dicey. But, you know, under the circumstances, you're right. He made the best choice with the information he had at the moment. And now that situation has changed, he should be able to amend his decision and play again. It'd be certainly very helpful to the Gophers. Now, Chris, you know, that's great. The Big Ten's back, and I took a look at the schedule. You kick off with Michigan, and it's not a terrible schedule, but can you imagine anything worse than a college football game without fans? It just doesn't make any sense. And I don't know how they're going to work that out, and of great for TV and get your money that way. But I can't imagine. I mean, if there's any a sport where you need fans and student participation, it's got to be college football. And it'll be pretty strange to see, it without fans. Now, on the upside, we have an outdoor stadium, which, you know, probably helps a lot as far as COVID is concerned. So, you know, maybe it won't be as sparse as the NFL looks, but, you know, you kind of got to pack a college football game or it's just not going to be the same.
Well, you know, they do have the band there. That does help to get you that feel of, oh, the band. Okay, yeah, the band's helping. But we've seen, like, you know, the Chiefs and a couple other stadiums, actually, the NFL have managed to get 15 or 20,000 folks in, especially the stadiums that are seat of 80 or 100,000, because then, you know, you can spread them around. And that's what's happened in college, too. They have had fans in the stands. I'm not saying it's going to happen here because we're still on the 250. But the band will be there, which does help a little bit. It kind of makes it feel like, and I'm not talking about down south, high school football. I'm talking about up north in Minnesota football. At least you got the band. It's like, okay, the band kind of gets you back to like feeling it a little bit. But yeah, I hear you. There is a difference. Both college basketball and college football, that energy, the rivalry thing, the so much youth in the crowd too, that you're right, that does make a huge difference, because they don't even have to be drunk to be screaming their ass off. So, yeah, it is a little funky there. But the funny thing is the NCAA has already worked out a deal a while back with the agent thing, and well, you could test something, and you could, for basketball, college basketball. But for college football, they've always kind of stood that because it has the junior tag and the 21 age and all that. But I'm assuming if they want to have any chance of keeping the Power Five moving forward, they would give these kids a break because it literally was just COVID. And we never see someone sit out their junior year. Do we see a guy in a not as meaningful bowl sit out if you're, you know, yeah, sure, we see that. That's different. I mean, a lot of these bowl games, who gives a fuck about them anyway? A lot of them. So, but, you know, when COVID was there, it'd just be another strike against them to, you're like, dude, you've already not done much. Can you at least do this now in this offseason? You've made billions of dollars tax-free for decades after decades. Can you just do this right? Any last words just in general, Vikings, football, anything before we shut this puppy down, sir?
Well, just come and follow us on the Instagram page, Living in Loserville Podcast, and get some more followers. We'll leave links to the show. Try to put some other content up there for you. And, you know, so we can get through this season. It's going to seems like it's going to be a tough one, but, you know, maybe we turn it around. It's just, you know, I just don't know. We're so young that, you know, let's just hope they play well this week. And we got something good to talk about next week.
But that first win is going to be nice. Whenever it comes, that first win is going to be nice. All right, we'll get out of here. Enjoy the weekend by the time you hear this pod. And, you know, I see a lot of bandwagon. Oh, I'm off the team for a little bit. What are you on the? What are you posting in Facebook for? If you're just a straight bandwagon, 0-2, I'm gonna go support another team. What are you even doing in a Facebook group? I don't understand that. But anyway, I'm out of here. Aaron's out of here. We're out of here. Peace.